We're preaching on the home this morning, and you can't preach on the home without covering 1 Corinthians 13, so why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's Word. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." And our key verse is verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity," these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray now as we pour into it and we look into it, I pray your Holy Spirit would teach us its truths, that we would learn some things today that possibly we didn't know, or just be reminded of them that we have forgotten. And I pray that our homes would be testimonies of a life in Christ with you. So bless this time, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we were young, I used to hear my parents talk about eating at particular establishments. And it used to be, there's things to do now more than ever before, but when we were young, if you didn't go out to eat in the Bangor area, there really wasn't anything else to do. So if it was, we'd call it date night now. Mom and Dad were just going out. Sometimes they'd go with another couple. Sometimes they'd go with themselves. And they'd talk about where they want to go. Do you want to go here? You want to go there? And there was always a term that came up was atmosphere. I don't like the atmosphere there. I don't like, or whatever it was, but the atmosphere was a big thing. Dad had to have the right atmosphere. So we've got some songs. I want you to there is an atmosphere when you hear music, and this isn't on music, and I don't know anything about music. So James, play our clips, will you please? Huh? What's that? Oh, Adam. Sorry, Adam. This is the dangerous one right here. That's good enough, Adam. So obviously you can see three different songs, three different musicals. I did not want to play in God's house heavy metal. You know, I just wasn't going there. It was just, but this, we've all heard it. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. It's rah, nah, 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 nah. But it's an atmosphere. It sets a mood. And the reality of it is, the point in those clips is that if you heard that music, you expect to hear a certain sound when you walk into an elevator. You expect to hear a certain sound when you walk into a funeral home. You expect to hear a certain sound when you come into the Cornerstone Baptist Church and people visiting. And if you've been here for any amount of time at all, you know what to expect when you come into this room, okay? I've said all that to say this. Your home has an atmosphere. You walk into something that you have set up, whether you recognize it or not, it takes on a life of its own, an atmosphere of its own. And in that atmosphere is setting the tone for the relationship that is taking place under that roof. For instance, If a police officer gets called to a domestic dispute, they know on the way to where they are going the atmosphere that they expect to encounter. And it's an atmosphere of conflict, possibly chaos. More police officers, I believe, and I apologize if I'm wrong, but I believe more police officers are lost in domestic disputes than anything else because, I mean, at times the atmosphere can be deadly. Now, I've said all that to say that 1 Corinthians 13, I believe, is an atmosphere chapter. There's a lifestyle and a thing going on in this book and the passage that we're looking at this morning that if we exercise it, if we do it, then it will set an atmosphere in your home that is life-changing. And that's what we're hoping for because obviously our homes are where we are at. You're in church for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a week at the most, but your homes, you're there. For all of the time that you have, it's where you rest, it's where you eat, it's where you meet people, it's where you love one another. All of those things, our home are really is the description, it's the atmosphere that we are immersed in. And I'll tell you what, it's not long to tell if you spend any time around someone, really what the atmosphere of their home is. And so really, I'm hoping this morning, as we talk about that, that we can set an atmosphere or understand an atmosphere that would work and be positive. When dad and mom comes home from work, there's an expectancy of normalcy of what you will walk into. The key is what is normal and what is healthy. I've recently joked that I was going to write a book, The Book of Normal. And you wonder, you know, does anybody know what normal is anymore? And then as I pondered the chapters in the book, probably be the most controversial book that anybody could write. Because obviously people are going to say, that's not normal, that's not right. And so really, honestly, America seems to be very confused on what normal is. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I guess this is this Gay Pride Week or Gay Pride Month or whatever it is? Gay Pride Month. When are we going to have the month of the Bible? I want to know when that is. But anyway, they're all talking about flying their flag. I'm thankful that our president did not allow in our embassies around the world to fly the flag this year, because they have in the past. The flag used to be something we raised to show our standard and what we believed in. I believe in the United States of America and what the flag represents. I believe in the Christian flag and what it represents. I do not believe in a gay pride flag and what it represents. And I don't really care for that to be up over our embassies. But that's the message that we are sending. You're also sending a message from your home, what you believe. What normal is to you might not be normal to someone else, but I'm hoping if we know the Word of God in this book, and if we love it and read it, that normal for you and I would be something that God would be pleased with. And so here we are this morning talking about that. So 1 Corinthians 13 talks about faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You know, we have a plant here, and I was gonna get a plant. This one here seems to thrive no matter where it is. It just does well because it's fake. But anyway, it looks nice, okay? And I couldn't help but think, you know, this sad to say this. This is real? How's it do that? Is it really? Well, that just kills my illustration, doesn't it? Where's the sun? How's that work? Do we, huh? Do we water it? Who waters it? Judy does. It's got dirt in there. I'd have bet my house that was a fake plant. I'm not a betting man, okay? Well, there. All right. I was going to say, and for the most part, most plants need soil, water, and sunlight, but this one doesn't seem to. Okay? You and I believe there's three ingredients needed in our home, and I believe they're faith, hope, and love. And for those to do well, those ingredients need to be there. You take some of those ingredients out, you take sun away from the plant, it should die. There are exceptions. But the reality of it is, with faith, hope, and love, those three things, I want us to see this morning how the Bible talks about these. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, I have a question this morning. I've thought about this from time to time. Faith is critical. Hope is critical. Why is charity the greatest thing? Think about that. Think about that. Number one, faith. Faith is trust. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You and I put faith in things every day. It's just part of our nature. It's who we are. But faith in God is critical. I'm not talking about faith in your vehicle or faith in the platform that I'm standing on or even faith in your pastor. For your life to work, there needs to be faith in God. Now, the reality of it is everybody has a God. Do you hear me? Everybody has a God. Whether they're in church or outside of church, they're worshiping something. They have a God. Even the atheist will tell you that I don't believe in God. Well, he believes in something. And the reality of it, he has made himself God. Because he's the one setting the standard. If there is no God and you deny there is a God, then he becomes his own standard. Therefore, he is God. Well, that's a God I'm not going to worship. I don't know about you. I've found that I've let myself down at times. And if I was God, that would be pretty disappointing. The reality of it is there is a God, the Jehovah God, the God that is our creator, the one that puts the baby in the nursery, that creates life, takes life. There is only one God, and that God is the one that we serve, who sent his son, Jesus Christ. And I put my faith and trust in him. I've not seen him personally, but I believe in him. I've seen the effects of what he's done in the world. I've seen the effects of what he's done in people. I've seen answered prayer. I've seen miracles take place. I've seen all of the things that God has done. Evidence of him is everywhere. You can either accept it and see it, or you can live in denial, but I choose to accept and believe. God requires belief, faith, and trust in him. Now, I've said before, and I'll say again, that Satan has no problem with you believing in God. He's absolutely fine with that. What he is not fine with is you believing in this word. That's the deal. If you want to create God, you can say he's the God. You can call him whatever you want. He has no problem with you believing in that. What he does not want you to do is follow him the correct way. And so what we've come up with now is a God's wordless society, making God in their own image to follow him however they want to choose. And I want you to know, man given to himself will always get it wrong. That's why God sent Jesus Christ. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made." And if you go on further in that passage, and the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That flesh was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came down, appeared before us to show us this life could be lived honoring God Almighty. He was not accepted. He was not liked. He was crucified. He was buried. But good news, he rose again, and he came back. And it was that living word that is now we have a copy of that word, his words, and the prophets that came before him and the preachers that came afterwards have been codified in this book. And if you want to know God, you read his word, and you will know God. And knowing him, he is worth believing in. That's called faith. I have faith in him as the God of the universe, the only God. I have faith in his word, and that makes Satan mad, and that makes me glad. And lastly, I have faith that he is working all things out for my good. John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Just in the last month, have you been troubled at all? Just in the last month. How about the last 24 hours? You know? I'll tell you what, life makes me nervous at times. We could spend the rest of the time here this morning talking about some of the dangers in the world, in our own place, in our own state. Kevin Grant, obviously at the pastor's conference, was just talking about some of the things, the dangers going on in the state of Maine and why it's important for pastors to keep their post, stand their ground, preach the truth, Because I'll tell you what, folks, if you and I aren't talking about the truth, it's not being talked about anywhere else. It's not in the sitcoms, it's not at Walmart, it's not anywhere. Hopefully you can find truth in a gospel-preaching church, and my prayer is that Cornerstone Baptist Church is one of those places. But obviously, God is working. We have to have trust that His plan is working for my good. Let not your heart be troubled. Romans 8:28, and we know, say that with me, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And so obviously, those God is working out His plan. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So God doesn't want us to doubt Him. He wants us to trust Him. God specializes in faith and courage. Satan specializes in doubt and fear. So our faith number one in our home needs to be in God. Our faith number two needs to be in our family. And that time at times gets tested because we are human. I grew up in a Christian home listening to country music. Now, that seems like a contradiction, I understand, but when I was young, and I could probably you were the same way, it was easy for me to remember lyrics and Bible verses. As I get older, that's harder to do. I used to listen to Porter Wagner and Dolly Parton, and they had this song, Run That By Me One More Time. And the lyrics were, well, you're late again, I see. What's your excuse this time? Don't try to kiss in makeup when you smell so strong of wine. And his response was, well, I'm not late. The clock is wrong. You need to wind Big Ben. Honey, that's not wine you smell. That's aftershave for men. And she says, would you run that by me one more time? And then he sings to her, what happened to the money I gave you to pay the rent? The rent is overdue and we ain't got one red cent. She said, well, I put it in the cookie jar that day you brought it home. And one day when I got back from town, I'll be doggone if that money wasn't gone. And he says, would you run that by me one more time? And then they go into the chorus. Run that by me one more time. You thought there was no special this morning, didn't you? Huh? You are. To make sure that I heard you right, I hope you don't expect me to believe that lie. I might be crazy, but I ain't dumb, and I know a lie when I hear one. Would you run that by me one more time? Now, that's a catchy little tune, isn't it? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning, huh? And so the reality of it is this, is obviously we need to trust each other, we need to believe in one another, but that trust gets in trouble, and at times we've heard someone come and say, I love so-and-so, but I can't trust him anymore. Isn't that true? And when the faith starts to break down in the relationship, boy, that's not good. It can be restored. It takes work. It can be. Emily and I have been married for almost 17 years now. I absolutely trust her. I don't give her any money, but I trust her. You know? She has never given me any reason not to. I'm not looking. You know, sometimes we manufacture some of the old our issues where we're just looking for something. Bottom line is, when you've got individuals that are constantly trying constant contact, they're calling three or four times a day, where are you, what you doing? Problem is, they don't trust you. They don't trust themselves. And that's what's going on. And all of those things and the issues that take place in life, faith needs to be in the home. Number one, faith in God, and obviously faith in each other. And trust one another and care for each other. And it's very important that faith is taking place. A key ingredient is faith. The next key ingredient is hope. Go with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. You're in 1 Corinthians. You're going to turn back in your Bible to the next book over. Going to the left is Romans chapter 5. If you're using a pew Bible, that's on page 1197. Romans chapter 5, very quickly here, says, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, in Romans chapter 4, they're talking about Abraham and how he wasn't justified by the things that he did. He was justified by the way that he believed. Now, obviously, what we believe turns into actions. James says, show me your works by your faith, and I'll show you faith by works. The two go hand in hand. What you think affects how you work and what you do. But having said that, Abraham was justified by faith in God Almighty, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And not only but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hopeth make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us by Christ Jesus. So, you believe in your spouse, you go through some trials, but no matter what happens, we have hope for a greater day. Hope that things will work out all right. We see it in our kids. Man, oh man, at times your kids will test you. They do things, you tell them something. Why is it that their murder rate isn't higher for parents and kids? I don't know. I'll tell you, the answer to that is because no matter how it's going, you're hoping that, boy, that one of these days he's going to turn a corner and it's going to work out. Isn't that true? I don't know about you, but I look at my kids sometimes and I think, there's no hope. It's over. He's too much like his father. It's just bad, you know? But all of those things, hope in the home is that expectancy that this may be a trial we're going through now. The Bible says we can rejoice in tribulation. Now, we don't normally do that. We could. And the reason why we can rejoice in tribulation is because there's hope that this too will pass and it'll be okay when the trial is over. And I'll tell you this, for those of you that are struggling this morning and it's a trial and you wonder if you can make it, I'm telling you, you get on the other side, you'll be better than you've ever been. It grows you. I'll tell you what, you don't get better sitting on a beach in Fiji on your honeymoon. You get there, that's right, Derry says. You get better when you're home, and you're struggling, and you wonder if the money will come in to pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever it is, and you work together for a common goal. Those are bonding times. When you get through them, you can look back and see how God has rewarded you, and it's that hope that God rewards and says, there, they had faith, they had hope. I appreciate that, and I'm going to honor what they're doing, and it builds the family. It grows them stronger. The only family that's ever stronger is the ones that have been tested. If there's no test, you're in trouble, because you'll probably fail at the first test, but you get up and you go again, and it's hope that restores those things and gives you something to look forward to. Does that make sense? So you got faith. I believe in God. I believe in my family. Disappointing at times. I'm not saying that to be funny. Disappointing at times, but overall very joyful. And then our last ingredient is love. But the greatest of these is love. Say that with me. But the greatest of these is love. And I ask the question, why is love greater than faith and hope? Faith and hope are critical. Well, because the Bible says so. That's a good answer. Nothing wrong with that. I will not disagree with you, Dave. But I think I know the answer. That's why they pay me the big money around here. I'm joking. Thank you. Why is love the greatest? Ha-ha. Love is what has to guide you when faith and hope have disappointed you. When you look around and say, I believed in them and they let me down. I was hoping things would get better and it's not. And at that point, many people throw in the towel. And it's love that has to endure you. Love is not a feeling of emotion that makes me adore my wife. Love is a choice that I make when we vowed to each other, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I look at her and I can say, I don't know what happened. I don't know why things aren't going as smoothly as I had hoped. But I have chosen to love you and I will not stop. That's what is required with love. And then I got good news. There's some feelings that follow. And they're really good. And if you've not experienced that with your mate, your husband, your wife, I'm telling you, you can. Because God's not just doing that for Stan and for nobody else. The deal is, he'll do that for anybody that will just obey him and follow him and do what he says. And if you'll do what he says, it's wonderful. So what is the deal with love? Well, there's some things that love does and things that love does not do. I'm still in Romans 5. I'm going back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're running out of time. I'm going to go quickly here. You might want to go home and reread some of these things, but there's some things that love does not do. Did you hear me? There's some things that love does not do. Love does not envy. Boy, we're full of envy today. Everybody wants what somebody else has, and how come they get to have it and I don't get to? And if I can't have it, they shouldn't have it either. That's what we're full of right now. Love does not do that. It doesn't envy. The Bible says it doesn't vaunt itself or it doesn't brag. Boy, we got a lot of hot air bags that are just blowing their own horn. That is so disgusting to me. Some of the worst things I've ever done personally is when I've tried to promote myself. I hate that. Does not brag, is not full of oneself. Love is always thoughtful and minds its manners. That's where it says does not behave itself unseemly. Boy, we got some unseemly things going on now. Doesn't self-promote, is not easily ticked off, doesn't think evil of others. You know, sometimes our thought process is not good. Sometimes we get angry way too easy. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. But you know, it ought to take a little bit to push your buttons. Sometimes we're just looking. There's a group of conservative gospel preachers out there called legalists that are just looking for a reason to be mad. I used to be part of them. I was in that crowd. You know, they're just mad. And if they weren't mad, they felt like they were backslidden. They needed to get mad. They would literally preach, you need to be mad at something. Just get mad. Pitch a fit. Stomp around. I don't like being mad. I don't enjoy it. I want to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. And I think we can be. Now, every now and then, some things ought to anger us. The current governor angers me. And I've just... But I don't have to sin over that. But you can be angry about certain things, and I would recommend you pray for the governor. I recommend that you call her and encourage her not to sign the bill for assisted suicide. You know, do that. That gives you an avenue to handle some of your... I called him up and I said, we would be eternally grateful if she would veto that bill. That's not being nasty or unkind, but it gets the point across. And I'm hoping that God will speak to her heart. God can use anyone. And I'm hoping that that bill will not go through, because Maine is known for enough bad stuff already. We don't need to be known as a place you can come and die in. That's not my notes. You get that for free. What love does do, it bears, it believes, it hopes, it hangs in. Love does not quit. Say that with me. Love does not quit. This week we're trying to get pastors not to quit the ministry. And I confessed with them how many times I've wanted to quit. They thought that was the funniest thing. I'm glad they laughed. But I'll tell you what, I couldn't count the times I've wanted to quit. And I'll tell you what, love doesn't quit. And what I'm feeling like that, the love has stopped and the human nature is taking over. That's how it is. A little confession for you. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. In verse 11, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Love grows up. Love grows up. You know, some of the things we see going on in our homes right now, it's like there's a bunch of kids living there. There's no adults in the room. They're all thinking about themselves, what they want, not concerned about anyone else. I know there are statistics that if this happens, there's a percentage that this is what breaks up families, money, communication, all of those things. I got one statistic that ruins every family, and I can't figure out anything else that does it. It's selfishness, period, 100% of the time. I know there, I've talked to another preacher about this. He said, I don't know what else it would be. And I said, I'm tired of trying to think of anything else. You can blame it on this person doing that or that person doing this. The bottom line is, you want what you want, and so-and-so's not giving it to me. I deserve more. I'm out of here. That's pretty much what it is in a nutshell. You know what? Grow up. You don't get everything you want in this life. You will in the next life if you follow Christ, faith, hope, and love. Love does not quit. I will not quit. Say that with me. I will not quit. Don't you quit on God. Don't you quit on Jesus Christ. Don't you quit on your church. But most of all, don't you quit on your family. God does not allow that. When you decide you're going to quit, now you become God. You're telling him to take a hike, and you move on, and he will never bless that. What we need is an atmosphere in the home. When you come home, you know this is where I belong. Nobody's leaving. Everybody's staying unless their kids are growing up and getting married and moving on, and then the party starts, you know? But the reality of it is we signed on this for life, and it's a wonderful life when those ingredients, faith, hope, and love, are in the home. And I'm telling you, I love marriage. Everyone can. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for the wonderful things that it teaches us. And Lord, we can't get people to follow you if we won't follow you. We can't get people to believe in you if our homes are chaos. We're living contradictory to what we've been taught from your word. Lord, you are the greatest friend I've ever had. I don't ever want to face a day without you. And I also want to say that you have given me a wonderful wife and kids. And it's not because Stan Griffin is wonderful to live with. I can take no credit for any of this. All the credit belongs to God Almighty and how you have blessed us. And we have just found that staying together, praying together, playing together with faith, hope, and love absolutely works. And Lord, for those families that could be struggling this morning, I pray that they'd recommit themselves to each other, to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, you've got a million reasons why you should have left us, every one of them legitimate, but you would never do that. And Lord, I pray most of all that every person here at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Because that perfect Savior came down here and lived and died so that we could have eternal life. And we need to believe in you. Lord, we'll open the altar and folks will have a chance to respond. I pray that you'd heal homes, heal marriages, heal families, save souls, do the work that only you can do. We love you. Thank you for our church, our Bible, our God, our home. In Jesus' name.